here's a guy who's not going to get fired because he does such a damn bang-up job for CSN, third man in the booth, anything he tries to do in life. It's our good friend Doug Christie. Doug, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Appreciate you joining us this morning. How are you?
You know what, Doug, this is what I love about you, all right? No matter what time or what you're doing, you always bring enthusiasm in truckloads.
Hey, well, speaking of a truck, I am in the truck right now, and I'm headed to a workout, so I better be enthusiastic because it's time to get busy.
Doug, I feel, when I look at you, Doug, maybe I'm wrong here, but I get this idea in my head that you're like the cleanest living dude in the world. Like, you work out, you take complete care of your body, and I'm just curious, I'll bet you eat like I wish I could eat. For example, if you haven't had it yet, or
anything,
if you're
with vegetables?
Well, just, I'm curious, Doug Christie, what's for breakfast this morning?
I'm going to stop at Whole Foods and grab me a Seafoam green juice with some beets in it, orange juice, and, you know, I might grab a blueberry muffin or something like that. That's usually how I get down. But, you know, like, if I eat chocolate, Dave, I eat dark chocolate from Whole Foods. So, I have that, and, you know, a glass of wine or something. But I don't step way outside the box anymore.
Well, and that also, let's just make sure we're not fluking here. What was for dinner last night?
What did we have for dinner? Actually, last night we had hamburger and french fries.
Hey! Hey! I had a hamburger last
but
night.
But it was homemade, you know, a little white ground turkey.
Oh,
you know,
okay. There, you know what? We were excited for you, and then you lost us.
I cook my fries in olive oil. You know, I do my best, man. I'm trying to hang out a little bit, Dave.
Doug, I love you. I'll
be 46 in a couple days.
I appreciate you trying. Does turkey qualify as a hamburger? I mean,
no.
It's kind of, hey, you're trying. That's you living loose. I appreciate that.
No doubt.
All right, Doug, there's so much going on in terms of the Kings head coaching search right now and the playoffs. So I want to get your thoughts on the head coaching search right now. Here's the thing. You get so many people saying, like, oh, they're interviewing so many people. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't that kind of what you want to see at this point?
Hey, I mean, you don't want to leave a stone unturned. You don't know who's going to come in there and blow your socks off. I think if we look back, guys, at Jason Kidd, who went in and interviewed for the Brooklyn job, and they had no idea that he was probably going to be their head coach, but they impressed him, and it looks like Jason Kidd is a really good coach. So you got to go and you got to search everywhere. You got to look and see who's going to fit. And yeah, I think that you interview everybody who you think is a candidate and a possibility. I agree.
Well, Doug, I mean, short of asking you to give us a name, I won't do that. But if you were the guy conducting the interview, what would you want to hear? What would turn you on from a prospective coach of the Kings?
Oh, what would turn me on? Like, wow. Way too early in the morning for that one, man. Okay. So, you know, I want to hear somebody who is going to be like in philosophy. I think the Kings need a teacher, someone who is going to be able to teach the game of basketball. And when I say the game of basketball, I'm talking about the fundamentals. I think you're going to need a good game manager and someone who is going to build a quality staff. Because one thing, this is just my opinion, is sometimes you can't be afraid to not be the smartest guy in the room sometimes. And if you're leading somebody, you want to have good people behind you, because that's the sign of a leader who is willing to grab people and bring them on board to, you know, make sure that every single slot is full. So that means your assistant coaching staff, everybody. So I need someone who's a teacher, someone who is going to, you know, motivate and inspire guys. So that's kind of what I'd be looking for.
Doug, I think one of the most important things for the Kings to do this offseason is really decide on and embrace a philosophy. I know that they wanted offense so badly, but offense doesn't get you very far if you don't play any defense whatsoever. So when you look at kind of the core pieces of this roster, is there a style that you think will fit this team the best? And if so, what is it?
Well, I think that when you look, for instance, at San Antonio, I think that they have a style like Golden State style is really you know, that is, it's beautiful, it's fantastic. But I think if there's any maybe blip in their style is the fact that they really can't play inside outside basketball. And I think that when you got a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, you have to work with what you have. And one of the things that you have is you got a guy who can dominate on the inside. But at the same time, I think that you have to embrace body movement and the movement of the ball. That is just, not only is that where basketball is going, that's freaking basketball. And if you don't play that, you're not going to be very successful. At the same time, you also have to get people who can stroke the ball from the outside. That is going to be absolutely big time going forward because it is where basketball is at. So style-wise, I like to see something like what we see in San Antonio. You got people that move the ball. You got people to shoot the ball, but now they've come back. You put LaMarcus Aldridge back inside, so you have someone that can go from inside out, Kate.
So, Doug, a follow-up on that is that Messina is a guy that we've heard his name a lot in regards to the position, and he's, you know, in the Sacramento Kings, and he is one of the descendants of Greg Popovich. Is that someone that you think maybe could do that here?
Yeah, I do. I don't know Messina that well. I've watched him, and I like his demeanor. He's, you know, I think, is he Italian?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think his suit says that all day. I like him. When you come from the Popovich lineage, you are going to be well organized. You're going to understand how to teach basketball. I think you're going to understand how to communicate. But at the same time, I don't think you're probably going to take any crap either. So those are the type of things that I think that you look for in a coach. Is it going to be, and this is where I think that it's going to be big time, because this person is going to have to get along with Vlade, make sure that's really not hard to do, by the way, be on the same page, all those type of things. It just has to happen, because that's been, I think, one of the dysfunctions, is the dysfunction between the general manager and the coach as of late with the Sacramento Kings.
Doug Christie joining us on KHDK. Doug, this is a question that's been kind of controversial throughout this coaching search. I'm curious where you come across. If you're Vlade Divac and you are planning on starting the year with DeMarcus Cousins as your franchise centerpiece, do you have any conversations with him throughout the search? Do you want him to give you his opinion? Not necessarily pick the coach, but do you want to know what he thinks? Or are you sitting there saying, you know what, screw it, I'm hiring the coach that's best for the team. You either adapt or we'll make a move.
Man, that's a tough one. I think you kind of have to – this has to be Vlade. He has to set the tone and set the precedence. I think DeMarcus Cousins is a dynamic enough talent that he can freaking fit in wherever you put him, as long as attitudinal-wise he's willing to do that. And when you look at him, for instance, for USA Basketball, and he goes with Coach K, that's a total different philosophy. It's a total different environment. And, boy, did he ever fit in, and he fit in just glowingly. So I think this is Vlade setting the table. And everyone got to step up to the table, put their napkin on, and eat properly. Use your fork, you know, use your knife. If you got a freaking soup spoon and soup is served, you better use it, okay? I'm just saying.
Doug, you brought up the Spurs, Ettore Messina, Greg Popovich, the whole deal. When you win game one by such a large margin, for Oklahoma City to come back and get game two on the road, what does that do for Oklahoma City to kind of relieve the pressure? I mean, if you're doing aggregate score, they're still down 35 or something silly like that. But point is, now you get to go home, you got the series split.
You know, I think OKC understands that their confidence wasn't shaken in the first game. And I thought that that's what the second game kind of was indicative of, was, look, you know, we're not scared of you guys. Yeah, you came out, you did your thing, you punched us in the mouth, but we're going to come back and we're going to be ultra, ultra aggressive. So probably on a couple standpoints, one is the superstars, and they're the Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. That was never shaken. But I think, probably for Billy Donovan, their coach, it's probably even bigger, because that was his first playoff game, and boy, did he ever get smacked in the head. But he comes back, and he's able to adjust. And I don't know how much of it was his adjustment or, hey, Russell, hey, KD, do what you do. And they just did it better But this is scary for the Spurs because this is a team that beat them previously in the Western Conference Finals, and then they came back, the Spurs did, and they beat them. So it's kind of like 1-1. They know each other, but KD and Russell Westbrook, man, are not to be played with. Those are two guys that if they get it going, you know, they can beat anybody. I mean, not just the Spurs. They could beat the Warriors. They could beat Cleveland. So big time, I think, more for Billy Donovan than anybody else.
The legend Doug Christie joining us on KHDK. Doug, last night, Cavs, Hawks. Cavs break the record for three-pointers. They destroy the Hawks by 25, and it wasn't that close. After the game, Charles Barkley reacting to the Cavs shooting threes in the fourth quarter, even though they pulled their starters. He said, hey, listen, man, you got to take someone out. You have to take someone out in this game. Not injure them, but you got to take someone out. And that caused a lot of stir and a lot of conversation. Barkley saying, you got to do it to send a message for game three. Your thoughts on that? You're on the Hawks last night. You got the Cavs going for that record and extending it in a blowout. Are you taking someone out?
Katie and I talk about this all the time. I'm sure she already knows what I'm going to say. You're damn right. You run right through somebody. You shoot a three-pointer, he ends up eating some popcorn in the front row. And it's not in a bad way. I mean, it's part of the game, you know. In baseball, you throw it, my guy, throw it your guy. It's not even really a big deal. It's just the NBA has gotten, you know, extremely soft with all the rule changes and different things, so people are up in arms, and I don't really know why you're up in arms. I mean, you're not just going to keep punching me in the mouth. I don't know who the hell you think you are, but that is just not even going to happen. And if you're going to allow yourself to keep getting punched in the mouth, you're going to come over here and sit by me. It only has to happen one time. You know, it's a hard foul. You go up and shoot it, and I contest, and oops, my fault. I stopped a little bit farther than I should have. You know, I stopped in the first row, and as I went there, I had to go through you to get there. Not a big deal at all. I think probably bigger was Charles Oakley's comment, letting everybody know that he is not the – and you do not play with Oak, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. So, Doug, you know, as I'm going to bed last night, I see this thing on Twitter by, I think it was like Fox Sports or whatever. And the headline on this article is that the Spurs and the Warriors should take notice after, you know, of course, the Cavs hit 25 three-pointers. And we know that David Blatt being fired was kind of a thing where they wanted to move more towards that free-flowing offense. And then you see them play against the Hawks the way they do last night. Do you really think that they've embraced this system and are equipped enough to execute it in a seven-game series against the Warriors or the Spurs?
No. They obviously they have the talent, and the problem is the level of efficiency and consistency that you're going to see from San Antonio, and you're definitely going to see from Golden State, because ultimately last year when Barkley was talking about it, saying a three-point shooting team can't win a championship, it just hadn't been done because no one has shot the ball at that type of level until them. Now, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, those guys can shoot the ball, but they've just been too sporadic with it. If they can shoot at that level, which we saw them shoot last night, I'm going to go to guess that they go to Atlanta and they, you know, they probably make 10 or 11, you know, as opposed to 25. If they can hit at that level, yeah, they can compete because they have LeBron James, and he is a point guard in a power forward's body.
Doug, last thing for you. We were talking earlier about J.R. Smith. You bring him up, and we were talking about how when he was in New York, he drove around a tank that he spent $450,000 on. We started out the interview talking about how healthy and well you are, and you got a great head on your shoulders. Did you ever buy anything really, really, really stupid when you got in the NBA?
I don't know that I buy anything stupid. I bought a Hummer, but it was awesome. It was the safest vehicle of all time. I'd rather enjoyed it till the transmission went out, probably because you don't drive a Hummer 80, and I was driving 80. But if I feel safe, I'm gonna go faster than I probably should on the freeway. But no, I didn't. I don't think that I stepped outside the box and bought anything. That right there, a tank, $400,000 tank. I mean, I guess you know you pay for security, ladies and gentlemen.
See, that's what we were reading the article. You never got like a tiger cub. You never had a giant aquarium. I mean, they were going through the list of like the worst buys for athletes in all the sports, and tiger cub and giant aquarium.
Nah, my kids had goldfish and I had a pit bull. I mean, what do you want? you know, I spoiled my pit bull. He chipped his tooth. I put a cap on it, a silver cap. And, you know, does that qualify? Am
yes,
I qualified?
That is extreme. That is extreme, Doug. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Doug, you're the man. Thank you, brother.
Anytime, guys. Go Kings.
Go Kings.
Have a good workout.
He's the best. He's the absolute best.